This morning I woke up a little bit earlier than usual. And unusual for me, I remembered a dream that I was having. In that dream, I woke up and I was actually coming to speak at a church service. And I had plenty of time and was getting ready. And all of a sudden, an hour evaporated and it was about 15 minutes after I was supposed to have arrived. So I left in a great hurry and I arrived at this place where I was supposed to be speaking. And after I'd ridden my motorcycle up to the sixth floor of the building up the stairs where it was to be and found there was nowhere to park and ridden back down again, I woke up, so I don't know what else happened. Now, having that little preview of what happens inside my head, do you want to hear any more? You do? Okay, well. Yeah, we're talking, as if you've seen on your bulletin this morning, getting rid of garbage. All of us have to get rid of garbage. What is garbage? Where does garbage come from? And what should be done with garbage? My definition of garbage, and you'll possibly find a dozen definitions if you look up different dictionaries and the like, is garbage is anything that is not necessary or beneficial to the final desired outcome. In brackets, even if it may have been necessary in the process of reaching that outcome. So stuff that's becomes unnecessary. Our bodies produce garbage regularly, and we've learned to deal with it in appropriate and regular ways. All of us eat food, and whether we've prepared it or someone else, in that preparation process, there will have been garbage produced. It may make good compost, but it's as far as the food, the meal is concerned, it's garbage. Some of us build houses or renovate houses, fix cars, establish or tend gardens, raise children or pets, and do a myriad of other tasks in our lives at various times. And I think when we look at them, every one of them produces something which, by that definition I just gave, is garbage and has to be dealt with. Some garbage has further uses. Week after next, after this coming one, the council will pick up all the garden garbage we want to leave out in our verge. Haven't gotten it yet, but they will. And they'll reprocess it into mulch that goes to some good purpose. But as far as my garden is concerned, that's garbage. What we want to consider this morning is not so much that sort of garbage, the sort of garbage that's quite visible and relatively easy, although becoming more expensive to deal with, but more the non-visible sort of garbage that collects in our lives, that accumulates about and within us. It gets there because of things that we have done, things that have been done to us, even things that have been done by people in our past, in our heritage. All of whom should have known better, should have made better choices, though often they were also hampered by similar undealt with garbage that had accumulated around them in a similar way. Paul talks in Philippians chapter 3 about everything other than knowing Jesus being relatively garbage. The Greek word is skubala. Refuse, the lexicon calls it as refuse, rubbish, leavings, dirt, dung. The two words that are used in translations that I checked up were rubbish and dung, that Paul says, in other words, everything, all the stuff in his life, other than knowing Jesus, is rubbish, garbage. I think if Paul was writing to 21st century Australians today, he'd possibly use a more colourful description. Paul wasn't restrained by Victorianism in the way he expressed himself. He was quite graphic in some of the ways he described some of the things. That reading that we heard earlier from 1 Corinthians speaks of running a race. In an athletic competition, everyone else is a competitor and you're trying to beat them. I think what Paul is wanting to say here is it's not the other competitors, the others running the race that we're trying to beat, it's the impediments. The garbage, I would call it, that was attached to us, it would stop us being able to run that race adequately. in the race that Paul talks about, and he talks about it elsewhere in similar ways, but in ways that say that the aim is not to beat everyone else, but the aim is to finish the race. And interestingly, none of us know quite where our finishing line is. Sometimes the finishing line comes a lot sooner than we would have expected, sometimes a lot later. But none of us know when it is. Who knows for sure they're going to be here next Sunday? We all have a hope we will be, and I hope we all will be too. But we don't know when the finishing line in our particular race is. And Paul says, get rid of the garbage that's going to stop you from adequately finishing the race. That first reading we had from Psalm 51, written by David. David was described as a man after God's own heart. And when you read that psalm, there's some things that say, you know, obviously he has a fairly good relationship with God. But when was that written? You may recall that was just after he'd been confronted about the affair that he had with Bathsheba. Now, what David did was quite normal for kings in those days. We look at it and think, because what a ratbag he was. No, what David was doing was quite the normal thing. If you had a good-looking wife or daughter, you kept her under wraps, because if the local king saw her, he had her. Sorry, that's the way life was back then. So what David did for that day was quite normal. But in God's sight, it wasn't. And it was some stuff that David had to deal with. He'd collected some fairly serious garbage on his life. And if you read the account of it, there were some fairly serious consequences as well. But at the end of it, you know, David was still described as someone after God's own heart. It's like we might look at that and think, oh, wow, you know, what's up with God? But God says, hey, no, because David repented, got rid of the garbage in his life and moved on from there. And that's what God wants for us to do. And there's all sorts of, you know, the various bits of garbage that we have in our lives. What sort of garbage we have? That hymn that we had earlier this morning, It Is Well With My Soul. If I've got it right, that was written by someone named Spafford. I can't remember his first name. He had just received news that his wife and I think most of his children had drowned when the ship they were on sank. And it was several months later. They didn't have mobile phones and whatever back then. Communication took longer. It was several months later he heard that. And he wrote that hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. You know, what could have been a great lump of garbage on his life, he dealt with adequately. What sort of garbage do we need to identify? Isabel's going to share with us some of the things that she's had in... Anyway, come here.
Hello?
Yep, it's going.
I'm smaller than he is, so I've got less garbage to carry. I'll just give you a little bit of history of where I've come from as a fact. Your family has a lot to do with how you turn out, isn't it? The family that you're born into. And so I was born into I was the eldest of four, and Mum couldn't keep me at home because as soon as I had a bike, I was out for the whole day. And she'd say, can you come and help me with the so-and-so? Or can you do the, help me wash the dishes and stuff like that? Sure, Mum. And then take off like a rocket. So I'd be away from morning till night because there were more interesting things out there than at home. And so I have to confess that. I wasn't the perfect elder sister, except when you listen to my two sisters, they say I was the best. And they're my memories. And their memories are completely different because I thought they'd be saying, can you play with us, Isabel? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I'd say, well, no, oh, yeah, sure, but I can hear Mum calling you. And then I'd take off like a rocket and be gone for a day. So I know that I was a bit of a garbage person. But my mum always believed in God, and she would send us along to Sunday school. So my brother and I, we would head off to Sunday school. But on the way, there was the train station. So we would spend as much time running up and down the stairs at the train station and whatever, and then think, that's about enough time that Mum will think that we've been gone to Sunday school. Until one time we got it way too quick. We went home and Mum said, you're supposed to be in Sunday school for another hour. Sprung. So, never mind. I think, my dad, who had said that he was, didn't believe in God, as far as he could see, there was no God. But he was the one that named me Isabel Clare. And Isabel means the same as Elizabeth, which is woman of God. So he was prophesying, even though he didn't know that he was prophesying, that I would be a woman of God. And Isabel, as it's spelled, means clear and bright. But he wasn't also to know that I was going to marry a Mac. So it's because Isabel, the way my name is Scottish. And so I married a Mac. So God already knew that when I was named. But one thing about growing up too, Mum and Dad didn't get on so well. Not that, mainly because Dad was a carpenter, and all week he'd be working, physically, and he was really tired by that time, and he wasn't ready to help Mum when he got home. So every weekend was a battlefield. Mum and Dad arguing, fighting, and I would take off with the kids down to the corner, hide them in the drain, and when I thought that they'd finished with their fight or argument, because only once did Mum throw something at Dad, and that was Mercura crime, and I sort of thought that was funny, but poor Dad. But so that every weekend there was Dad tried to stay out of the way, but he was just didn't have the energy because he was 40 when he got married. And so, he wasn't in his prime of life. But he would speak to me when Mum wasn't around, and he'd say, "Your mum is the most wonderful woman." And so he knew that he had a treasure, but he didn't know, he didn't have the physical energy to be there for her. But he loved her and honoured her. So that was the sort of garbagey things that were happening in my life as examples. One of the things that I count as a plus for me was going to Queen's Park Primary School, which was right next to Sister Kate's home. So I had part Aboriginal kids in my class the whole 7 years that I was at primary school. And it was such a blessing to know them and to count them as friends, and to try and beat them when they in sports, because they were all better than me anyway. So it was really good. But in that experience, we've met up with some of them since then through LL Ministries, I remember. And I remember this one particular, praying for this one particular lady at a conference who had been one of the children at Sister Kate's home. And she had incredible feelings, felt inferior, and every time she looked in the mirror, she hated it. She hated everything about herself. But because some of the girls there had actually been sexually assaulted by some of the older boys. And that was, you know, that defined the girls. They had a problem. They didn't feel that they were worthy. So I prayed with her and I broke off those words and those things that had happened to them. And this one girl, and she rang me up. I think it was the next day. This was Saturday that I prayed with her. On Sunday, she went to church with a rose in her hair, feeling I'm somebody. And another young woman that I prayed for, she rang me up the next day after we'd been at a conference together to say, Isabel, I've rung you up to say that for the first time in my life, I looked in the mirror and I liked what I saw. Because you're telling God that you're garbage. You know, He's made garbage. He's made us perfectly. He knows who we are. He loves us. And we are not garbage to Him. So, and we need to take hold of that, that we have been made in the image and likeness of God. So when you look in the mirror, say, oh God, I like what you do. And look at each other and say, this is a work of God. We are His children. We've got an inheritance in Him. So back to my notes. I remember one lady who had been referred to me because before she got married, she'd been quite promiscuous. And every time she and her husband, whom she loved, were intimate, she had to imagine that she was with one of these other men that she had in the past. And she knew that this was wrong and she didn't want it, and she was just a new Christian. And the wonderful thing was that when we prayed, you know, she got back to me later to say, all fixed. And, you know, we've got the authority, but she was feeling like garbage. She couldn't break it. But this is what, you know, to have another Christian brother or sister pray for you and break those bonds. So that garbage went and she was a changed person. So I've got several other, quite a few examples of this, but I think you've sat there so nicely. And I haven't seen any of you asleep yet, but I'm looking. But I'll keep you all awake now until Tom gets to the podium.
So, garbage in our lives. Some of us might call it other things, but for this morning, that's what we're calling it. What should we do about it, and how does it affect us? I was thinking this week, and I was thinking, how many people do I know who I would say gave me the impression that they'd dealt with virtually all the garbage ever in their life? And I think I came up with about three people. And they would have admitted there was still stuff they had to deal with, but my impression was there wasn't anything very significant there. Now, I'm not saying you're all a mob of hopeless, you know, garbage draggers, but usually when we get to know someone, we're aware of little things, and they might only be little things that are, you know, that really need a little bit of change. And if we look at ourselves, we'll see the same. You know, one of the bits of significant garbage that I collected was in my third year at school. I was nearly always late arriving at school. It wasn't that I ever left home late, but it was just that there were always so many things of important scientific interest along the way. By the time I got there, it was late. But I'd learnt possibly more on the way than I was going to learn at school some days. But anyway, one day the teacher had the class primed up, and when I walked in, I had to stand in front of the class, and they recited some ridiculing poem at me to humiliate me or something. I don't remember exactly what I decided then, but I know that many times since I've described how my response to that with some some language was possibly more colourful than I had back then. I don't agree with what the teacher did, but the result of that, that what that did to me was I had a mostly unconscious rebellion against timekeeping. And that had quite a few fairly negative results on me in various jobs I was in and other things, until eventually I recognised that and had to come to the point of forgiving that teacher and of renouncing what really was some sort of vow, inner vow that I'd made, that no one was ever going to do that to me again. That was a minor issue. What other bits of garbage do we have? Another bit of garbage I've had to deal with, and I think most people who are honest would have to, would be, I've lived a practically moral life. By that I mean practically, in all outward signs, I've lived a moral life. But if I apply Jesus' standard, which says it's what happens in here that counts, it's like, oops, maybe there's a few things I have to repent of. And where is the line between temptation and sinful thought? In the same thing Jesus talks about, not just about sexual sin, and I think if Jesus was speaking today, he wouldn't just address men, I think he'd address women as well. Back in his day, things were a little different. But he also talked about hateful thoughts, being like murder. Anyone here who's never had a bad thought about someone? So how far did that thought go? How did you cross the line between a temptation, which might have been for very good reason, but how did you go cross the line between being a temptation and wanting some bad result for that person? I'm not going to try and define where those lines are, but I think when we're getting close to them, the Holy Spirit's fairly clearly telling us where they are. And if you're like me, there have been times when you've actually crossed one of those lines some way, some little bit. So those are things that, if we do that sort of thing too often, they will accumulate in our lives, and they'll bring a barrier between us and our Lord, which means we're not going to be the bright lights we should be in the world. We are supposed to be those who take the light of Christ wherever we go. The more garbage there is in our lives, the less that will show. What other sort of garbage do we have? And how much are we aware of it? An example, Isabel and I were at a conference once, and the conference was on the theme overcoming rejection. I may have said this before to some of you, but there was a young woman there. She was standing in the front waiting for someone to pray for. I went up and said, "Do you mind if a guy prays with you?" She's a woman in her early 20s. "No, that's fine." She told me what she wanted to be prayed for. We prayed with that, I believe adequately, and she was satisfied that had been dealt with. And then I said, "Well, the theme of this conference is overcoming rejection. That wasn't a rejection issue. Is there any rejection in your life?" "No, not really." We talked on a bit longer, found out that she said that her mother was about 14 when she was born, didn't have a name for her father, and so lived a life where her mother was in and out of her life, mostly out of it, and left her to her, to bring herself up, and her grandmother tried to help. And I just looked at her and I said, "No rejection in your life?" And all of a sudden the light went on. See, that had been her life. She'd grown up with that. And I think often we grow up with all sorts of garbage in our lives and we've accepted it as normal. Until eventually something either goes belly up or something confronts us and says, "Hang on, is that normal?" And what the Lord is saying is, "Hey, we want to see ourselves in your light. Not according to our standard. We want to see ourselves by his standard. And if there's things that need to be dealt with, then we need to be asking the Lord to deal with those things, to change our attitudes, to change our thoughts, to forgive us. And often we need to be forgiving in the process. How many of us have racial attitudes? Most would possibly say, "No, we don't very much." But I can recall clearly. Now, my parents would have said they did not have any racial prejudices. I can remember clearly, and my brothers remember likewise, hearing things from my parents and thinking, "My goodness, those are human beings, But their attitudes were quite, free compared with the attitude of many people in that day, in the 50s, early 50s. You know, but how much do we have attitudes that, you know, the attitude was, and I can remember clearly, the attitude was because you are white, Caucasian, particularly if you're a male, you're superior to everyone else. You're inherently more intelligent and inherently more deserving of God's love and God's graces. Absolute rubbish. Garbage. That's one of the bits of garbage that I think has been, to a fair degree, dealt with, but not totally. Sexist attitudes. You know, most of us have some degree of insecurity. And if you're a male, it's all very comforting, or it seems to be comforting, to be able to wipe out half the opposition to anyone who might be superior to you by saying they're all inferior anyway. Whereas in God's sight, they're not. You know, I think that's one issue that I haven't had any great problem with. In fact, I am not a voting member at this church, because the Lutheran Church doesn't believe in equality between of men and women. And I made a choice long before I came here that I would not formally join an organisation that didn't give equal value to men and women. Maybe I've got something wrong in that. Part of that decision was correct. Maybe part of it wasn't. Who knows? How many of us have grown up with various denominational bits of garbage attached to us that says that our denomination is, if not more correct, perhaps the only correct ones? You know, well, the others that are down the road, you know, some of them might get to heaven. You know, that's perhaps an attitude that's less prevalent now, but some of you who are, you know, who've been around about as long as I have, we'll remember those attitudes fairly clearly at times, I'm sure. I see a few nods of approval there. Yeah, these are some of the bits of garbage we need to deal with, because the Lord said, you know, Jesus is coming back for a bride, as someone has said, not a harem, and it's a spotless bride, and that means us and all the other churches around here, we're to be one spotless bride in unity that Christ comes back for. If anyone's expecting Jesus to be coming shortly, then I'd suggest there's a lot's going to happen. There's going to be some very hard work done before that occurs, before the body of Christ is seen as a spotless bride. Because we all have bits of garbage that will, which mean the bride isn't quite spotless. So where do we go from here? You know, I've often said I never want to preach something that doesn't result in something being done to make people come closer to the Lord in some way or other. You're possibly expecting that we'll do what we've often done before and break into little groups and sort of discuss things or talk about things or pray together or whatever. And we've decided, no, we're not going to do that this morning. And the reason is because often what we want to happen is that we look at our lives and say, Lord, what garbage is there that I need to be cleaning away? And I'm aware that some of the things that when I've had to confront them in my life, I would have been happy to confess, to have talked about them and confronted them in front of one other person, maybe two, not in front of a group of people that I perhaps wasn't totally familiar with. And that's why we're not going to break into groups this morning. But that doesn't let you off. Because what I'm going to ask you to do is to honestly say to the Lord, okay, Lord, what is there in my life that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be cleansed away? This doesn't mean to say that your life with your relationship with the Lord is in a total wreck. Not at all. It just means there's things to be dealt with. All of us have got relationships with people. Many of us have got a relationship with a spouse, and the closer the relationship is, the more we realise there's little things that come up regularly that need to be dealt with. And we need to learn to say sorry and ask forgiveness, and we're not very good at it, if you're like me, but we need to learn to do it. And that's what the Lord is wanting for us. But the relationship is still there and it's still good, but it needs to be better. So what we're saying is, hey, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it in my life that needs to be dealt with? And show me who it is. Maybe it's just confession to the Lord. That's fine. But maybe It needs to be confessed with someone else. There is something very, what's the word, cathartic, very cleansing about actually confessing something to another Christian friend, person, whoever, and then being able to, whatever way is appropriate, perhaps they put their arms around us, whatever, and saying, hey, I've heard your confession, and so has the Lord, and if you've confessed to him, you're forgiven. To hear those words, actually, you're forgiven, you're cleansed. To hear those words from the mouth of some person frequently gives a, I don't know how to describe it, but brings a feeling, a confirmation of the transaction that's taken place to bring you closer to the Lord. Let's do that. Lord, you know our hearts. We'd all love to be described like David as someone after your own heart. So, Lord, create in us clean hearts. Show us the things that we need to deal with and how we should be dealing with them. Thank you, Jesus. go in the name of Jesus, that you will know the full restoration of the joy of your salvation. Ask the Lord what it is. As we go from here, Lord, we pray that you will guide us, empower us, enrich us, cleanse us. Go in the name of Jesus. You are his light to this world. Amen.